Welcome our visitors tonight, everybody else that could make it. Glad to have y'all. This message I have tonight, it's not what I had in mind. I had a couple other things I'd been studying for a while, and I just kept going to this, and so I had to give up and try to let God have his way instead of mine. But it's the title of it is, Why Do We Go to Church? You know, and I actually Googled that, and it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of different reasons why people go to church, and some of it's just it's a feel-good thing. They've done their obligation. They're good for the week. It's dropping off to immensely in the last few years. There's less and less people going to church. The Bible teaches in the end days that people won't endure strong doctrine, and there'll be a lot of people will leave the church is what I'm trying to say. And this is the time in history that you need God more than anything. And the world is chaotic from one end to the other, and the only hope that this world has is God. And they've been exposed to a lot of things that aren't of God, and I've met a lot of people since I've had the Holy Ghost that they haven't been taught Scripture. They've either heard part of it, or something's been taken here, they're out of context, or just all kinds of different ways. They've heard stuff on the radio, TV, and it doesn't match God's word. It might be part of it, but it's not all of it. And we know that everything in God's word needs to be expressed out there, right down to the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T. So we have that kind of knowledge here. And God brought all of us from a lot of different places here to Alaska because we have a love for the truth. That's what we wanted. We wanted the truth. We didn't want part of it. We didn't want our ears tickled. We wanted to know God and on his terms. And that's why we're here. And I am so thankful that God brought me here for that reason, especially that I've never been taught anything that isn't Scripture, and I've been taught about receiving the Holy Ghost like it is in the book of Acts. That gives you the power to live the life that the Bible teaches you. You have to live a holy life to be able to make the rapture and to be pleasing to God. And it's a beautiful thing to have that in your life, to actually know and be able to give anybody you come in contact with a scriptural answer, not one of your own, but one that's from Scripture. Then you can show them right black and white, this is what the Word of God teaches. This is salvation. And I needed a Savior, and I found one. And I'm forever grateful tonight. What I came up with as far as coming to church, it was to learn and to worship and to praise God and draw closer to the family of God, which is, the scriptures about Christ is the head and we're the body, and we all have our particular callings and gifts that God wants to use, and not only to perfect each and every one of us, but to draw new people into the church and to have it work like a fine oil machine. And we've had different teachings over the years about a fine oil machine, and just everybody's doing their part, and there's temperance here, and when it's working, there's nothing that God can't do for his people. Look at this building. None of us were really knew what we were doing when we built the building, and look at it, it's beautiful. So if everybody's got their mind on God, he can make it happen for you, and it's pretty amazing. And God is so neat, man. I went to a benefit last night for people that were fighting addictions of one sort or another, and they had testimony time. And it was Right now, they're only doing the ladies' part of it, but they're building a building for the men and all that stuff, too. But God doesn't want anybody to fail. I mean, he just, by these testimonies, I mean, I don't know how much of the truth these ladies had or if they had all the truth or not, because I didn't get a chance to talk to them. But definitely God is working with them and doing miracles in their life. I mean, these women have had some major, major setbacks, and they didn't want to be like that. It just happened, and they're doing it's just to hear their testimonies. It's heartbreaking, but it's also uplifting too that they're on the straight and narrow and things are going good for them. And it's amazing the outreach from the public, because they don't get any government help or anything. It's just donations and people's time, and it's amazing what's already done there. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is we all need God, you know, and just whatever that takes. Let's start out in Hebrews 10, verse 23. And this is, why do we come to church? Why do we go to church? Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And verse 25 is a key scripture in there. Not forsaking assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. And that day approaching, we know, is the returning of our Lord. And we all want to be ready for that. And that's the number one thing in our lives, and should be in everybody's life. Am I ready to meet God? Because we all have to meet him sometime. And it'll be just one-on-one. Be us and God, and there'll be no excuses. I mean, if we've heard this, word, the truth, the whole word, and we don't do anything about it, what are you going to say when you're standing there in judgment? You won't have much to say if you can't. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 12. And, you know, this goes back to, if you're not living for God, you know you're not right with God. And this, you can't hide it. And when you are living for God and you're changing, and God's showing you things that you have to change that are not pleasing to him by his word, you can't hide from it. And that's pretty much what this is all about, right, this part here. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto his eyes, with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And we've all been there, and we all have needs. I don't care how many hours a day you pray, how many hours a day you study. We're human beings. Things happen in our lives. We need God 24/7, and we need all the God we can get to live the kind of life that his word teaches we must live. Be pleasing to him. I made a side note here about the part that I was studying, and it says God never wanted his preachers to entertain his people, but he commanded the preacher to to teach the truth with urgency. And when he preached through that sound doctrine, that the Word of God, that there was fruit from that thing. And the note I had was, these are the things that happen to a human being when you hear the truth in God. It penetrates your heart, and it transforms your life. You're not the same person anymore when you started in God. But let's face it, we didn't like being what we were before anyway. We wanted to change, or we wouldn't be here. And God, I mean, God looks at, he looks at your heart, and he knows that you want, you don't, you're not happy, and you want to change, and he'll do whatever it takes to get his truth to you. Which, I was 4,000 miles away from here, and I got a phone call. And I was here in a couple of weeks. I mean, if God can do that for me, he can do it for anybody. And I just wanted to know what the truth was. I looked up in the sky, and I had an attitude. I wasn't doing it out loud, but I guess, you know, there's 10,000 different religions and cults in the world. What's the truth? I just want to know what the truth is. Why did you make it so impossible for anybody to get right with you? And 2 weeks later, I get a call. Are you trying to live a good life? Yeah. Well, the life you're trying to live, you're only going to be able to live with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I got goosebumps from my head to my toes, and I thought, that's the missing link. That has to be it. If there's a way to get right with God, that has to be it. I've been all over the country, worked with all kinds of preachers, was raised in a Christian church, and never heard the salvation plan. I was 33 and a half years old. But I knew I had to come to Alaska. I mean, it was nothing else, but I had a great job and a lot of things going for me. I had to come up here, man. I had to find out if this was real. If it was real, I knew I needed a Savior. I had to do something. And praise God, he worked it out, man. And it's the best move I ever made in my life. And, everybody here's got a testimony, and everybody was somewhere at some time wanting God, or they wouldn't be here. And he took care of their needs. He brought them. And you think about how amazing that is, though. I mean, we came from all over the country. There's very few people in this church from Alaska. When I first came up, there was hardly anybody in this church from Alaska. The second thing I had was he calls sinners to repentance, which I was chief of. And he encourages you when you're downtrodden and you don't have any hope in your life. He encourages you. That word encourages you, man. You got hope for the first time in your life. You have real hope. And hope is, I didn't have any. And I didn't even know that I was ever going to have any. And I am so thankful to God that he opened my eyes. It inspires God's people to love and to serve him. And it lights your pathway up. I mean, it not only gives you hope, it gives you a vision. I mean, man, I can change. I can be different. I thought I could never change. I tried. I mean, I did all right. But, I mean, I knew I was way, way, way far away from never going to heaven. And, man, I had hope. I had hope. We sing that song, I Got Hope. Man, I remember when I first got the Holy Ghost, man. I knew I had hope. I couldn't believe it, how good I felt. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. And this is when Paul was getting pretty close to departing from this world, and he was still preaching. I mean, he told Timothy, do this, this is for my people. It's 2 Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. God will do whatever he has to do to get us ready for this rapture. And that's what he's telling Timothy right now. Don't let up on this stuff. You have to be diligent. Stay with it. For the time will come when they will not endure sons of doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And we know that's going on right now. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it. They'll tell you flat out, I don't want to hear it. But we never know who the ones are that want to hear it, that were in the same place that we were at when we heard it. So we got to keep trying. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, thy righteous judge, shall give me in the day, and not me only, but to all them also that love his appearance. Man, that's what we all want to be able to say when we're taking our last breath, that we're ready, we did what we could, all we could do, we were here, and to have that assurance that, yeah, not guess at where you're going, but know exactly that's where you're going. I read a little thing a while back where, I can't remember exactly how it started, but it was about somebody that passed away. And the line was, live your life today so when it's over with, the preacher doesn't have to lie about you. It's certainly true. I've never been to a funeral yet where this guy wasn't the best guy that ever lived or best lady that ever lived. And you need to know that you're right with God according to his word, not guess at it. If anything's important in this life, that is to know exactly where you're going to go when you leave this one. And we don't have any guarantees for tomorrow. I don't care if you're 15 or 50 or 105. You can go at any given moment. It happens. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whosoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that right there starts the process. It shows you how much power is in God, but just only two of his people agree together. And then four, and then six, and then eight. Just how we can help each other to attain this eternal life with Jesus. And we need each other to make it. There's none of us are an island on ourselves. We all need fellowship. We need church. That's where you get your fellowship. And we've talked before the scriptures about not only is God a refining fire, but we sharpen each other like steel on steel, that he puts us all together, that we can help each other out, but also with our different personalities, learn to be long-suffering with each other and loving towards each other no matter what comes up, and to trust one another. I mean, God's perfect plan is not our plan, I'll tell you. And we like what we like, and that's about it. But God's not like that. He's long-suffering towards us, and we need to be that way towards each other. And just think about the love and mercy God's had on you in your whole life. And then you think about it since you've had the Holy Ghost, how much love and mercy he's had on you. Because then you had the power not to do a lot of the things that we've done. And God still forgives you and works with you and grooms you and tries to get you to a place where you can spend eternity with him. And then we're supposed to be like that with one another. And that's not a wish you were, that's a command. We're supposed to treat each other that way. I'm going to go to the Psalms right now. This is a little bit about, I started out with the worship and, or the learning, worship and praise, and this here's about the worship and praise. Psalms 100, verse 1. And that's what we were doing tonight. We were singing songs and making a joyful noise. I come to church not only to get something for myself spiritually, but I love to worship God and praise him and sing to him. And I mean, there's power in that itself. I mean, that's uplifting. Verse 1, Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. I remember the church that I went to, you didn't participate. You pretty much just stood there or sat there. And you didn't really sing that much. You didn't do hardly anything. You didn't. I look back at it now. You talk about the dark ages, man. That's compared to the truth. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was irritated when I first started learning the truth, because I had so many things to unlearn and so many things to relearn according to God's word. And as I started learning the real scriptures and how they all go together, I started seeing, like, man, I didn't have any idea what God was like. And I got irritated because I went to school to learn that kind of stuff for 9 years, and I didn't learn. I learned very little truth, I'll put it that way. I had to unlearn all that stuff and then put it in its right context with the way God would have you understand and see stuff. And I never heard about receiving the Holy Ghost like it is in the book of Acts, speaking in tongues and giving you the power to live an overcoming life. I never heard anything about that until I was 33 and a half years old. That's got to be the missing link. As soon as I heard it, I thought, man, that has got to be the missing link. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord is good, is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that's another thing. I mean, when God starts blessing you, you don't take it upon yourself that you're really good at this, or, you know, you're doing all this stuff. It's God's hand in there that gives favor with people, quickens your mind, and uplifts you. There's a ton of people in this world that work like dogs and never get anywhere. They just barely make it from day to day. So it's something God wants us to be aware of, that he's the one that blesses our lives. And we have to go through the motions, but he's the one that makes it happen. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. And go into Psalms 101 there for a second. Verse 1. You know, I was just talking earlier about the mercy of God. I mean, he is a merciful God. If there's any hope at all, if there's anything in you at all that he can work with, he won't give up on you. That's a beautiful thing about him. He's not like us. When things aren't quite right, he's not a fault finder. He's a positive God, and he works with the negative things in our life to make them a positive. And I'm so thankful for that. Psalms 101, verse 1. I will sing of his mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, when I read that scripture there, I was thinking, you know, sometimes we have issues about something, either in the church or with a brother or sister or something, and you start hashing that over with somebody, you know, behind the closed doors or whatever, and pretty soon it's a runaway. God hears every bit of that. That's not right. He hears that, and so does Satan. And so that magnifies and it snowballs, and pretty soon you got issues, and you got to go to each other and straighten it out and all that. And it's humbling to go to each other, but it needs to be done if that's a problem. It really does. Because we can't get to where we're trying to get if we got that kind of stuff going in our lives. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turned aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. Whosoever privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. We don't want to be in that place. We want to be in a place where, under the wings of that God that protects us and keeps us. And we want to have that brotherly and sisterly love that he teaches that we need to have for each other. And that's something we need to, it's something we have to strive for daily. It just doesn't happen. It's something you have to work at. And we all have a natural. And you never know when it's your turn, you know, where you're having a hard time and you need all the mercy you can get from somebody. He's an awesome God. Let's go to Psalms 95, verse 1. Psalms 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his own also. The sea is hid and he's made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. To the day, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, as it is in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We don't want to push God. We just want to make him happy. The Old Testament is in here for our example, natural example, but we can understand the spiritual. And we find out if you push God long enough that you you can get yourself in a problem with him. And we don't want to go there. We want to strive to be the people that he called us to be. And, you know, you go through all these scriptures, and the bottom line is to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love each other the way he loves us. I mean, that is about it. No matter how you teach it, you come right back to the love, the brotherly love, and the love for God. And that's just something you have to say. We all have to strive for daily. Psalms 96, let's go there for a second. Psalms 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. You know, basically, that just says you're supposed to witness to anybody you come in contact. That's what that means. We're supposed to be witnesses to him and about him and what he's done for us in our life. I don't think I ever really saw it quite like that, but that's exactly what that is. You're to be a witness to whoever. It doesn't make any difference. Verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He it is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. There we go again. That's witnessing again right there. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields be joyful, all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. And we know that if we don't worship him, that the scripture is even the rocks will cry out. So that just goes right along with that. We owe him our love and mercy, our love and praise, and we need to worship him with our whole heart. Verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. I love to read these psalms because they're just about how I feel about all this stuff, and I could never put it into words myself. But it is how I feel about God, and I know you all do too. And it just, it gets down deep in my soul where nothing else can. And I don't, nothing can touch that part of me but God's word. And I just, so thankful to God for giving me those feelings, because I never had those for a long time. And I was reading somewhere the other day where somebody had a lot of problems in their life, but they finally says, I got to a place where I could love again. If you've never been to a place where you can't really love anybody, and then you can love again, it's pretty awesome. It's real awesome, actually. Real quickly, I want to go to the book of Acts to confirm what I was talking about receiving the Holy Ghost there. These first few chapters of the book of Acts is where the promise of the Holy Ghost was was to the apostles, and it talks about the outpouring and stuff. And I just want to read a few scriptures of it. 1st chapter of the book of Acts, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not be depart from Jerusalem, but wait, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not too many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but you shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So he's telling them he's going to give them the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is going to come into them and give them a power. And then they'll be able to witness to people because their life's going to change. And you can talk all day long, but if you can't live a holy life in front of anybody, it's just words. So we go to the second chapter here now. We'll start out in verse 1, second chapter of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. It didn't say it was that. It just says it was like that. It did not say it was cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation. And then it goes on to talk about what a commotion it caused. All these people were receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So you get a few minutes, you can read the rest of that. It's pretty self-explanatory. Let's go to verse 37 in the second chapter. And these people here wanted to know what was going on and what they had to do. After Peter got done telling everybody what this was all about, they were convicted. They wanted to know what was going on here. And verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and unto your children. They're all afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this onward generation. Verse 41, then they gladly received the word and were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. That must have been something. That must have really been something. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were believed were together, and all things were common. They sold their possession and goods and parted them, all men, and every man had a need. And they just wanted to take care of each other. Make sure that, you know, if I had $5, you had $2.50. I mean, it was a brotherly love thing. I mean, that's how you feel. When you first get the Holy Ghost, you don't have any bad feelings about anything or anybody. You just want to all be in one little cocoon together. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that tells you right there, the singleness of heart, that they were one mind and accord. They all wanted what God wanted, and they wanted that fellowship with each other. There wasn't no division at all. They wanted to be around each other. In verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we know that's the first time in the New Testament that the word church was mentioned. And that's the church that Jesus came here to establish. And praise God. I've had that experience. Most everybody in here has. And untold thousands all over the world have had that experience. You can't tell anybody that's received the Holy Ghost that they don't have to have it that way. You might be able to influence them before they get it. But once you've had it, there's nobody can talk you out of it. It's a done deal. But anyway, that's about all the scriptures I have tonight. But before Rick comes up here, we can have an altar call here. And, we all got issues in our life. We need help from God. We need, if we don't really need that much help right now, so your neighbor does. So, come on up in front. If you got any problems, ask God to help you with them. If you know your brother or sister's got problems or somebody, relations, anybody, just you come up here and pray for them. Just, God answers prayer, man. I mean, it just, it's amazing how he answers prayer. I mean, what did I see? Oh, this morning in that class. It was David. He prayed he needed some help. And here comes his best friend 2 seconds later. I mean, sometimes it's right then and you can see it, and sometimes it's a little later than that. But God does answer prayer. It might not be right the way you want it answered, but it'll be answered one way or the other. It's just like his word. It doesn't go out void. Once you throw it out there, it's never ending. It's just like your speech, okay? You can say something good or bad, but whatever you say, it's out there forever anyway. It's we've been taught. You're a master of the unspoken word and a slave to the spoken word. But I'd rather be a slave to the truth of God than anything negative. So, thanks for listening, and thanks for being here tonight. And love all you guys. And come on up here and get something from God.